Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I sat down with Philadelphia-based saxophone player and music educator Larry McKenna. We talked about two of his favorite saxophone players, Sonny Stitt and Stan Getz.
One of the reasons I like both of those guys, well, there are many reasons, but the thing is, you can listen to them. Sonny played alto and tenor, where Stan was mostly known as a tenor sax player. When Sonny Stitt played alto, he sounded very, very much like Charlie Parker. And sometimes it was hard to distinguish between, you know, who was playing. I remember hearing a recording and saying, wow, Bird sounds great on that. And it turned out that it was Sonny Stitt. But the thing is, when he played tenor, he had his own sound. I mean, you could tell right away who it was. And the same thing with Stan Getz. They really had their own way, each of them, of playing, so that they were easily, immediately identifiable. But they also, the thing that they shared was that they were both very melodic, but in slightly different ways.
So, for example, let's talk about them one at a time. So What is it about Sonny Stitt that appealed to you?
Well, Sonny, first of all, he had great technique. And he could maneuver his way through the chord changes of all the tunes and do it miraculously well. I mean, he just like could just, eat, as they said, eat up the changes. You know, he would just run through it. But it never sounded like he was doing exercises or anything like that. It was always very melodic. You could always follow the song, and it was very song-like. And you could tell that he had great affection for the songs that he played. He loved to play standard tunes, and Stan Getz did also. And I do, too. And I have a great affection for all the classic standards tunes of that they refer to now as the Great American Songbook, you know, Jerome Kern and Cole Porter and Rodgers and Hart and all those, you know. And Sonny Stitt and Getz both made a lot of recordings of all those songs, and you could tell that they had some really deep affection for the songs, and it came out in the way that they played them, even though when they soloed, they got totally away from the melody, but there was always like you could just sit back and listen and you knew which song that they were playing, as intricate as they might get with the playing through the chords and the substitutions and stuff like that. It still came out sounding like a melody, you know. And they all swung too. They both had a great sense of swing. They came out of swing and bebop and beyond. You know, I mean, they, of course, Stan Getz became known as Bossa Nova. A lot of people don't realize that he was a very good bebop player before Bossa Nova ever entered into the picture. And if you listen to a lot of his recordings from the late 40s and 1950s, He was a strong bop player, and a lot of people only know him as, he's that guy who played the girl from Ipanema, you know, but he was much more prolific than that and covered a lot of different styles, you know.
So when people say, oh, Sonny Stitt was really hard bop and Stan Getz was more bossa nova and ballads, there was a lot more overlap.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you hear Sonny Stitt and Stan Getz play the same piece, what are the differences?
Well, you'd have to just hear it. I mean, they again, it's like people talking. You know, Stan had his sound and Sonny had his, and the way they articulate, it's just like listening to two different people telling their stories, and they're great stories that they tell. You know, they're both very melodic. They're true to the song. They swing. They have great ideas. They're technically proficient, you know, and it's just, they're great musicians, you know, saxophone players too, but foremost musicians, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about your CDs?
Oh yeah, sure. Well, the one that you have in your hands right now is called Profile, and I recorded that in 2010, I think.
So 2009.
Oh. And then the other one is more recent. It came out last year. It's called Larry McKenna from All Sides. Actually, it came out in 2013, I think. Anyway, both contain some standard tunes and some original tunes. Late in my life, I've become somewhat of a composer. I always wrote like jazz tunes and stuff, instrumental tunes, but I had never written anything like that would had words to it or anything. So I started to do that a few years ago, and I teamed up with a lyricist, Melissa Gilstrap, who has put words to my song. So on the Larry McKenna From All Sides, we have four tunes that are sung by Joanna Pascal that we Melissa Gilstrap and I collaborated on. I wrote the music and she wrote the words, and Joanna Pascal sang it, and I did the arrangements for the band. And so it was sort of like a new career for me. It's not a new career, but a different side. That's why the album is called that, Larry McKenna From All Sides, is because I play on it, I arrange, and I also compose.
That's cool. And just partly because we're talking about Sonny Stitt and Stan Getz, are any of these pieces influenced by those?
I don't think I could possibly do anything that would not be influenced by those guys, you know, among others too. I mean, I know I gave up a long time ago trying to copy anybody, because I realized that that's the way you learn how to play, but at a certain point you have to play the way you play, you know. You have to try to develop a style of your own. But the influences remain. And over the years, a lot of people have said to me, like, oh, you know, you play a lot like Stan Getz. And they say, well, thank you. But and I've also been told from time to time that I played somewhat like Sonny Stitt, because they were two of my main influences. But eventually I tried I think I finally have developed my own way of playing. It's taken a long time, but...
And what is it about jazz that really gets to you the most?
I don't know. At its best, I think I still get the same feeling when I hear something that's really good as when I first heard it, that got me interested in it. You know, it was just like, well, at the time, I didn't know what it was. I just knew that there was something infectious about it, you know, and said, wow, my foot's tapping, and I'm hearing these great sounds coming out of these instruments and these musical lines. And when I hear people do it the right way, I still am affected the same way. I mean, it's the songs, the interpretations, the different styles of, and the swing, you know, the beat, the rhythm, all of that is when it's all comes together. That's what it's all about to me.
Yeah. And I imagine when you're playing, it just takes you to a whole different...
Sometimes. You know, I there's a great drummer, he's Mickey Roker. He lives down in South Philly, and he's well-known all over the world. And he said to me one time, and he said, you know, Larry, he said, people think it's always fun, and it's not always fun. He said, "It's when it's really good, it really is fun. And a lot of times it's just... you're just playing, but nothing's happening." And that's the truth. I have to admit, I've heard people say, oh, I just love to play every time. And I mean, I like to play most of the time, but there are certain times when it really clicks and you say, ah, that's what it's all about. That's why I started doing this, and that's what we strive for all the time. But you don't hit it all the time. It sometimes it's just good, you know. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in. Is there anything else you want
to
talk
about? I'll tell you one thing. I actually did get to play with Sonny Stitt one time.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's kind of a funny story. There was a famous club in Philadelphia that everybody's heard of if they haven't been, not old enough to have been there, called the Showboat. It was on Lombard Street. And one time I went in there to see Sonny Stitt, and it was after I had just played a gig. And I had my saxophone with me, and I was with a friend who was a drummer. And we went in and we sat at the bar, and I was about, I don't think I was even 21 years old. I might have been just barely 21, but we used to sneak in these clubs anyway. And I had my saxophone so that it couldn't be seen, not deliberately, but where I sat at the bar, it was not visible from the bandstand where Sonny was performing. In the middle of they had the bandstand in the middle of the bar, But somebody must have told him, there's a guy over there who plays the saxophone. Because Sonny liked to get people up to sit in and make it into sort of like a jam kind of situation. So while the piano player was soloing, he came down off the bandstand. He came up and he said to my friend who was sitting next to me, hey, man, get your horn out and come on up on the stand. And the guy said, I don't play horn. I play drums. And then he said, well, who plays horn? I said, I do. And he said, well, get your, and he said, backside, but he didn't say backside. Get up there. And I didn't think twice. I just said, oh, wow, I'm going to get to play with Sonny Stitt. And I get the saxophone out, went up on the in the bandstand, and not the least bit nervous. And he said to me, what do you want to play? And for some reason or another, the only song I could think of was Melancholy Baby. And a lot of people make jokes about that song. It was like an old song. But it was actually a good song, and it had been recorded by Parker. And I think it had been recorded by Stitt. And so the song choice was fine, except I made the mistake of saying, do you know Melancholy Baby? And he said, do I know it? He said, I'm Stitt. and he said, he turned to the piano player and he said, Melancholy Baby. And he counted off, like, not a real fast tempo, but a little bit bright. And so luckily I hung in with him and I played, and we kind of made a show of it. Sonny would do stuff like where he was like, you like kind of comical looks, like if you played something like, and he'd look at you and the audience was eating it up. Here's this kid up there playing with this master, you know. And so we played this song. And then after that, he called another song. He says, Blues in D flat, which was a little bit unusual. I think he was putting me to the challenge. And I hung in with him on that one, too. And I did pretty well. And after I came off, he came over and he said, yeah, man, you play good. And so I said, yeah, that was nice. About 10 years later, I thought, what would I do? My God, wow. He could have like totally wiped me out if he wanted to, you know, but he was pretty kind to me.
That's great. Well, thanks so much for coming in. This is great.
Thank you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.